May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 295. 295. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know, and seek more earnestly his face. Hymn 295.
Let us turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in the which all they that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from men. But these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father have sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. and you will not come to me, that you might have life. I receive not honour from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honour one of another, and seek not the honour that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Do you give unto us a spirit of real prayer? And unlike those Jews, help us to come to thee that we might have life. Help us to believe and receive thee by faith. And do thou receive us as poor, trembling sinners, gathered around thy word this evening. Do gather with us. Grant Emmaus Road worship this evening hour. Do speak and do teach us in thy word, and reveal Christ in our hearts, the hope of glory. Give us that faith to believe what we hear from thee, and to cling unto thee, and to cast all our hope for salvation there at thy feet. Deliver us, Lord, from being wrong. Deliver us from error, from being deceived, from being in a mere formal dead profession. Make us wise unto salvation, and give us oil, the oil of grace, which distinguishes between the wise and the foolish. Bless unto us thine own word, May, Lord, we not forget what we've read this evening. May it be our guide, our encouragement, our warning. Make us fruitful hearers, we ask. And fruitful readers of thy word. Lead us into those green pastures and beside those still waters, which our souls need for spiritual food and refreshment, that we may be healthy and go on in thy way. Bless this house of prayer. Bless thy cause and gospel. Bless the ministry of thy word. Bless the preaching and the hearing. May, Lord, there be much life here. May there be much fruit here. May there be much that pleases thee and brings honour and glory to thy holy name. Remember our friend in hospital. Draw near, we pray, unto him in this hour. And make where he is a Bethel to his soul. Draw near, we pray. And grant him to know thy peace, which thou thyself didst say, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And remember and support his family at this time. Be, Lord, with any other who are in sickness, in trouble, in difficulty, in trial, in darkness. Draw near unto them, we ask. Carry their burdens for them. Grant unto them to know that thou hast their matters under thy care, under thy control, that thou dost care for them, even in trouble, even in sickness, even in trial, even in sorrow. May, Lord, they know what it is to have sanctified sorrows and troubles and sanctified joys. They may be able to say that they've learnt of thee in them and they've been brought nearer to thee in them, that thou art more precious to them than thou wast before they went into these experiences in life. Grant thy help in this week to come. Grant thy keeping watchful care over each. Grant the supply of every need. At home, at school, at work. In thy house here. Bless us as we meet around thy table this evening. Lord, remember us as we seek to remember thee. Bless, Lord, this little church. Be unto it all that it needs. Bless the ministry of thy word here. Raise up an under shepherd to feed them, week by week, service by service, and to care for the flock. Grant those gracious additions in this church and in this congregation and in other churches and congregations in this area. Build up thy church, we ask. Call by grace those dead in sin. Confirm thy inheritance when it is weary. Grant that growth in grace. Grant, Lord, that we may not just know that call by grace, but continue to know thy call in life. To know thy guidance, thy care, thy keeping. And at last, our souls receive up into glory. Bless, Lord, thy church today as it meets in our land and in other corners of the world. Bless thy gospel as it is preached. May, Lord, there be food for the lambs and the sheep. May, Lord, there be the bleating of the newborn lambs today. May at the close of the day thy fold be larger than it was at the beginning of the day. And may we bear some humble part in it, under the shepherd's care. Pardon our every sin. Lead us, we pray, to that fountain opened at Calvary. May we know the blood applied as a token for good of thy special love and favour toward us. May it speak peace in our hearts, sent down from heaven. May, Lord, we know what it is for the love of sin to be taken away, and the love to thee and to thy ways to be put in its place. May we know that obedience of love. and that walking with God by faith. Wherever he may lead, bless and help us now as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn number 422. 422. Who can describe the joys that rise through all the courts of paradise to see a prodigal return, to see an heir of glory born? Hymn number 422.
Turn this evening with the Lord's help to John chapter 5, verse 15. Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Here we have one of the early miracles in the public life and ministry and work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Around this pool of Bethesda, lay a great multitude, all with a need, all with a case. All hoping to be healed. The word Bethesda means a house of mercy. And this man proved it to be so. Have not some of you proved this house to be a house of mercy? Have any of you proved Jesus coming up in power among you here? You've come with a need and a case, and he has met that case. You've known what it is to be healed of the sickness of sin. Some of you are still waiting. Perhaps you've been waiting a long time. Jesus knows. It says here he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Trembling sinner, this evening he knows you too have been a long time in your case. And others of you, perhaps, you've been a long time in providential needs. It's not just to confined, is it, to the sickness of sin? Some of you have perhaps got trials in your body, in your health, in your family, in your business. And they've been a long time. This man, we are told, had an infirmity 38 years. Whether he lay there 38 years, we don't know. Doesn't take long, does it, to say these words? A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. It was a long time to him. He had to live it. Day in, day out. Hour in, hour out. Perhaps even moment by moment sometimes. That's not so easy, is it? One thing to read about it. One thing to talk about it. It's another thing to walk it through. Perhaps it was all his lifetime. with not all his lifetime, a significant part of his lifetime. And you this evening feel exactly the same way. It may not literally be 38 years with you, but perhaps it feels like it. Maybe even it's longer. Jesus knows. And although you perhaps do not believe what I'm about to say, it's true. Jesus cares. He cared here. It was why he went up to Jerusalem. To single one man out among what we are told here was a great multitude and to heal him. Divine sovereignty. You may ask, well, why did he only heal one? Why didn't he heal them all? Because he chose to. And because as God he has the right to. Perhaps this evening you're like this man. You've seen others healed. But you're still in the same condition. You've seen others delivered and go on their way rejoicing. You're still lying on your bed of infirmity. But God does care. Can you honestly say that you have not had any help or support from him in your infirmity? Has he not drawn near at all? Sad, solemn state to be in if that is true. Some of you, you have to confess, do you not? If he hasn't yet delivered you from it, he has blessed you in it. He has helped you in it. He has enabled you to go on in it, else you never would have gone on. And if you're asking the question, why? Why me? Why have I not yet been delivered when others have? Why have I not yet been given what I have seen others possess? First of all, because God has more to teach you. In the trial, that you can't learn outside of it, and you wouldn't learn if you were now delivered of it. Secondly, maybe the answer for you this evening is the same answer which the Apostle Paul was given My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he had to continue and live with his trial, and he wasn't delivered from it, it seems, until he died. But he had something better. You say, well, what can be better than being completely delivered from it? What is better is that Jesus himself is going to walk with you in it and give you his grace and give you his help and give you what you are going to need day by day, hour by hour, week by week, year by year to walk it out until he does deliver you. But at the moment, he's saying to you, perhaps, who have come and asked tonight for deliverance in your providential need, not yet. You're going to learn more of me first. More of my grace. You're going to need learn a little more of yourself. And your need of mercy. Because trials often don't bring out the best in us, do they? They bring up that sin that lurks. You know, nearly 100 years ago there was a missionary or group of missionaries going out for the first time from Canada to China. All very young, inexperienced, zealous for the truth. They all had a love to God and a hunger and thirst to take his word to China. They had a love which the Lord had given them and an exercise for the Chinese, which is why they went. And as they went on that long voyage, they were accompanied by an experienced missionary who had been on a break and was now going back to the mission field. On one occasion, she gathered them round and said, when you get to China, all the scum of your nature will rise to the surface. And this missionary lady writes in her autobiography, she said, I was shocked. She said, wasn't that a bit steep? Call us scum? Wasn't it a bit harsh? She said, the day came when I had to confess before the Lord. Lord, scum is just what my nature is. And I need thy grace. And I need thy help. And I need thy forgiveness and thy mercy. And is it not true that in our trials, it brings out those sins, perhaps, that we didn't even know was that were there. Didn't surprise the Lord. He knew they were there. And one of the reasons he's brought you into the trial is to refine you. Not to destroy you, to refine you as gold. And you know, or perhaps you don't know, but in the refining process of gold, the metal is put into a bucket and it is put to a great heat so that the meth gold actually becomes a liquid form. And as it does that, the scum, which is embedded very deep down into the metal, slowly rises to the surface and is scooped off the top. And apparently they are trained, the refiners, to look into that golden pool. And they are told that they are not allowed to take that pot off the furnace until they can clearly see their own reflection in the gold. Then they take it off because it's done its work. And then it is cooled and it melts back into the solid that it was before, but it's brighter than it was before. And no damage is done to the gold. Only the impurities are burnt off. So, child of God, that's what the Lord is doing with you. He's put you in the sieve. He's put you in the fining pot. And at the moment, you don't feel to be pure. All you can see is the sin rising up. And perhaps you are, in the words of our opening hymn, almost in despair. This man seems to be here. He says in answer to the Lord's question, "Wilt thou be made whole? Sir, I've no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But when I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." He almost seems in despair. Is that where you are this evening? Here is then the word of the Lord for you. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That is the Lord's word to you this evening. Do not despair. In other words, do not give up. Do not give in to Satan. Continue in prayer until he delivers you. And the time will come when he will deliver you in his own way. And remember, though you may be weary at the ends of the earth, your God is not weary. Though you may not understand your case, he does understand it. He knows what he's doing. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And for those of you for whom this evening your case is You long to know and feel an interest in his blood. The time of love will come, when you will clearly see, not only let he shed his blood, but you will say for me. It will come. He knows your case. He's heard you praying even this day. He's coming for your deliverance. He's called here an impotent man. That literally means in the original he was without strength. And this is where we have to come in a spiritual sense. Because this is what we are. We have no strength of our own. We have no goodness of our own. We have no righteousness of our own. Maybe this is one of the reasons you have not yet been delivered. You haven't yet got to this word impotent, yeah? You haven't yet got to that point where you're putting your whole dependence on the Lord. You're trying to put some of it, but you're trying to bring something as well. You can't come like that. You've got to come to this point. A guilty, weak, and helpless worm. On thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength, my righteousness, my Jesus, and my all. That is the mark of a spiritually impotent man or woman, boy or girl, who knows it, but is not satisfied to remain like it. And the wonder of it is, when you come like that, he won't reject you. He won't despise you. He won't say, go away and come back when you're better. You have to come as a ruined, lost, guilty sinner. The only door of hope for you is mercy. Were you at the right place? Bethesda, the house of mercy. And if you say, well, why would God have mercy on me? Because he will for Jesus' sake, not for your sake, not for anything you've done, but for the sake of his beloved Son Jesus Christ. That's how you'll be made whole. When Jesus saw him lie and knew he'd been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? He didn't say to him, will you be put in the water? He said, wilt thou be made whole? There's a difference. The man, you see, thought he could only be healed one way. And Jesus intended to heal him by a different way and a better way. So, friend, do not lay down lines for God to work in your soul. You'll find he rarely, if ever, does. You may have mapped it all out, how it's going to be. I can almost guarantee it will not be that way. Ask him to make you whole, but leave entirely in his hands the manner of him conveying to you that it is done. In this case, it was a command which made him whole. So other times it was a touch. Other times it was a word. A consolation. This occasion was a command. Perhaps this evening, that's one of the things that troubled you. You felt you have been delivered, but it was something like this, a command. And you expected it to be something different. God's a sovereign. In how he works. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. Took up his bed and walked, and on the same day, it was a Sabbath day. I think there are 5 or 6 occasions when we read of the Lord healing on the Sabbath day. Of course, it offended the Jews. But the Lord Jesus had a right to heal on the Sabbath day. After all, he is Almighty God. And how sad it is that they couldn't take delight in these various cases of healing, but rather they were enraged. And really, it wasn't so much a concern for the Sabbath day. They were jealous that they couldn't heal them. They were jealous of what the people thought of the Lord Jesus rather than of what they thought of them. But in a spiritual sense, how often has the Lord healed on the Sabbath day his people from the sickness of sin? How often have you come to the Lord's house and he's worked in your heart, faith, hope, love? How often has he delivered you from your burden on the Sabbath day or on the Lord's day as it is now? What a blessing it is that he does work. And he works every day of the week, but it does seem he especially works on the Lord's days. There's a prayer for you. Beginning of the day, ask the Lord to work in your heart that you might know something of healing in your soul. The next thing we find as we come to perhaps more particularly the words of our text to start with, he did not know the name of the Lord Jesus. when the Jews demanded on him of him who had healed him. But afterward, we're told Jesus found him in the temple and then revealed himself to him. He probably hadn't been in the temple for many years. We find as soon as he's healed, that's where he goes. Just a word. If you are in earnest about your soul, if you really are sincere about being made whole, and seek to be found in the house of God, under the preached word, whenever you can, whenever you're able. Seek to be found in his word. Is it any wonder you've not been blessed recently? If you've been neglecting those things, you're not going to find healing in the worldly pursuits of this life. You're not going to find healing if you are swallowed up with even the lawful things of life so that they take the precedence on the place of God. Seek to put first things first. And then you might be surprised just how quickly your prayers are answered. And indeed the Lord here did say in verse 14, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Sometimes trials and burdens and difficulties and illnesses come, and it's not because we have sinned. Job was a case in point. The disciples on the lake were another case. Sometimes it is the trial of faith. Sometimes it is for the honour and glory of God. But sometimes it is because we've sinned. Is there not a cause why you are where you are this evening? Is the Lord speaking and saying to you, sin no more? May you be helped then to heed his word. Because the trial is not going to get any easier until you do. Sometimes trials are brought to bring us back to God. Bring us back to a right relationship with him, to restore us. And they're not done in anger, but in his covenant love. Sin no more. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Some of you can say, can you not the same this evening? That Jesus, it was him who made you whole. Of the sickness of sin. It was he that delivered you. It was he that brought you through. It was he that brought you out. Is there one of you who could say this, but you haven't? You could tell the Lord's people. Of how he had made you whole. Of how he brought the healing word to you. But you haven't. And why not? Fear. Fear of man. Fear of what it will cost in a profession. Or may you this evening be enabled to follow this man's example and to tell the spiritual Jews, not the natural Jews now, the spiritual Jews, his people, that it was Jesus which had made you whole, and they'll rejoice to hear it and they will receive it. And if you say, well, how can I go? I need a word. This is his word to you this evening. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And what more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. It means he'll never forsake you. It means he'll be with you. He'll help you. He'll support you. It does not mean that it will be a path of plain sailing. It does not mean it will all be easy. It does not mean that there won't be difficulties. What it does mean is that the Lord God Almighty, your Saviour, your Redeemer, will be with you in it and will give you the grace you need and will walk with you, leaning upon your beloved Lord. You'll be able to go on. Fear not, brethren, joyful stand on the borders of your land. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you, undismayed, go on. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Go and do likewise. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett. Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. And God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach to us afterwards. Let us close with hymn 746. 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us now and forever. Amen.